both places. Tonight, the Lord gave me these simple, it's kind of amazing, like a theme, simple messages, right? Simple messages, but powerful. I heard this in Ben's testimony last Tuesday. He just mentioned Matthew 13, 44. He just mentioned it, and my mind just started running because I've never really preached from this before. I've mentioned it also. There's not enough here, I don't think, for a full message. I could prove that wrong in about 5 seconds. But this is Jesus using parables to describe the kingdom of God to us. Amen? And when I use this, verse 44, I want you to know this. I've never seen anybody that's being used by Jesus in amazing ways that I couldn't describe them in this verse 44. Okay? So when you hear it tonight, you should be able to see yourself in it a little bit. And if you're not, you should ask why. All right, Matthew 13, 44, he says again, this is another parable, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. The treasure is Jesus. The treasure is salvation. The treasure seems hidden. It is hidden to a degree. It seems hidden until you find it, right? I didn't find it till I was 30 years old. When I found it, I didn't even know I'd found it. I'd heard about Jesus. My first few church experiences were awesome, but then when I was about 12, 13, I was introduced to a very legalistic church, and I hated it. I loved the messages. I did. I loved the messages. I loved the Jesus they talked about. I just didn't like the Jesus that they portrayed. I didn't like the way they gave you so much stuff not to do and to do. But when I found him when I was 30, my God. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in the field, that which when the man hath found it, he hideth it, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth the field. That's exactly how I felt. Oh my gosh. What is this? I thought I knew who God was. I did. Pray, read your Bible, go to church. Talk about sin, not supposed to do, I'm supposed to. I'm trying. You might want to write this stuff down. I'm trying. I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to do what God wants me to do. It still bugs me when I hear people say, I'm trying to do the right thing. I did. But then I met the treasure. God, I found it. And I love what it does. You almost do want to hide. You're like, oh my gosh. And you hide it. Put in your heart. Oh my gosh. And you go sell everything. Did you hear what I just said? The man that found Jesus, this is a comparison. This is not exactly how it works, but Jesus said this is the way you could understand it. In the time that he was preaching, everybody understood this. And he said, this man went home, went wherever he went, and gave away everything. Nothing compares to the treasure. Or does it? Or does it? Do you have a Jesus that nothing else compares to it? Do you have a Jesus that everything must go? It's a all-out sale. It's a liquidation. Going out of business. Kevin's going out of business sale this Saturday. It all must go. Golly, was you ever raised in around here? Amen. Furniture store's going to J.D. Kenders. Going out of business. How many times are you going to go out of business? Amen? But that feels like every believer that I should know should have said at one time or another, we're going out of business. Everything's for sale. What? Girlfriend, boyfriend, relationship, house, car, job, future, past, whatever. It's all gone. It almost gone. This is a message. There is a full message in here. I lied. That's how big Jesus is when you find him. There ain't nothing you won't give up. There ain't no lifestyle. There ain't no person. There ain't no money. There ain't no future. There ain't nothing that you, man, somebody say, man, you're going to really miss out. You didn't get a glimpse of the treasure that I seen. There would be nothing that this man, this woman, this person, this child, when they seen who he was, would not say, there, you ain't worth what I found. If you can't join in on the trade, if you don't want that kind of, if you can't be around it, then you ain't worth staying in it. That's the kind of Jesus I got. Some of you say, that's a radical Jesus. That's a radical salvation for somebody just to give away everything. Have you met him? Have you met him? Because if you met him, this right here is not radical at all. It is just who he is. This guy, golly, I wish y'all get a hold of this. Is this not simple? Is this not one shelf off the ground that everybody can reach and get a hold of? This guy is walking through a field, let's just say an old rotten, let's just say an old overgrown widow farm field. Amen? She can't get it bush hogged. Can't get it cleaned up. Nobody will come by. All the kids have ran off. Nobody's helping. There's several old junk cars in there. There's maybe a house, a lean-to, a barn, a building, something, an old tractor, supply, whatever. I mean, there's stuff everywhere, and you just can't make it out because it's overgrown, and it hadn't been taken care of. You know what I'm talking about now? And all of a sudden, somebody just walks. All of a sudden, man, somebody trips up over a box, and they open it up, and whoa, my gosh, there's $2 billion there. Right? Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. How much do you want the old widow farm over there? How much do you want for the, well, it's got a bunch of real cars, it's got a sinkhole in it, it's got, I mean, there's that thing, I don't think everything on the property has been condemned. I do not care. I'm selling everything, getting rid of all of it. I'll buy whatever it's worth. Right? Is that how you feel about Jesus? Or is there still some things that, you know, well, maybe I just don't know how life's going to go yet. And maybe Jesus ain't as good as my life might be. You ain't met the Jesus I know now. You ain't met him. You don't know him. You don't. Because if you think you're still going to find some satisfaction in a relationship, something you can buy, something you can ride, something you can drive, something you can fly, something you can experience, you ain't met Jesus yet. You just ain't. I hate to tell you, you ain't met him. Because as soon as you meet him, you're like, everything is dull compared to him. Everything is less than. He's the greatest. Can I talk about the second part of this 5-minute message now? How about the field? How about that widow farm? That's the mystery, ain't it? Ain't that the mystery? Because we know Jesus is worth it. I'm going to heaven. I'll fly away. Hallelujah, glory, glory. I'm going to heaven one day. Amen? I know that part. I got that part. But how about that old field? Amen? It does have some junkers in it. God, I'm going to preach on this better than I thought. God, I should have moved on already. It does have some junkers in it. Gary, it's got some junkers. It's got some sinkholes. Got some foxes, wolves. Bobcats, bears, amen, some traps, some stuff that fall on your head. Yesterday I went to get the Christmas tree out of our building. Hallelujah. I don't know how I got to that, but that's where I go yesterday. My wife, oh, we're going to put the Christmas tree up. I'm like, all right, it's a little early, but you know what? Why not, you know? Which Christmas tree? I don't know. There's two out there. Get them both. If you can get them out, both of them, get them both. I'm like, great. I don't know who put the Christmas tree up last year. Didn't tape the box shut, put it in halfway. This thing's got snow on it, artificial snow. It's a beautiful tree. Crammed in a box. The box is busted open this way and that way. Who would have done that in a hurry and a rush? Put it up on the top shelf. This guy right here. Turn around, grabbed the thing, whipped it around, hit my head on the door of the building, got the tree over my head. I have to sit down because I almost knocked myself out. It stinks getting older. I've never almost knocked myself out. I've got a knot on the top of my head that I have found 14 times today. 14 times I've found it. I didn't even know it was there, but now I know it's there. I've hit it 14 times. I sat down in that building, that Christmas tree, all over me. Snow falling, 85 degrees outside, snow falling. Good old plastic snow. Whatever that stuff is, probably causes cancer. I'm sitting there going, man, I'm knocked myself out in the building. And nobody even knows I'm out here getting this thing. Finally, I come back to my normal self, which is dangerous. Bear hug, wrestle this thing into the house, set it in the floor, snow everywhere. Snow everywhere. Yeah, I like to kill myself outside with this snow monster, right? The Christmas, I'm sorry. Merciless. Where's the other tree? Oh, it's coming, baby. It's coming in here. No matter what, it's coming in here. Other trees in here, this is a pencil tree. If you don't know what a pencil tree is, the tree is that sick. It's one little tree. Guess what? Today, I made the call last night. Pencil tree in, monster snow tree out. Back to the building. Where I started this from is, here's the reason why I started this for. That building was a trap. That building was dangerous. If I knew that was what's going to happen, we wouldn't put that Christmas tree up till after Thanksgiving like we're supposed to. Okay? But in life, you don't get to pick the good and the bad and indifferent. Guess what? When we pick Jesus, when we get that treasure, we look into that field and we say, God, I'll take the field. I'll take it. And there is some pitfall. There are some bad people. There are some bad actors. There are some pitfalls. There are some animals. There are some hurts. There is some pain. There is all that. But let me tell you something else that's in there. There are some people who get saved. Lives that get changed. There is healing, deliverance, wonders, works. There are things that you get to see and be a part of, and life happens. And you know what? There is better life in the field with Jesus than before him without the treasure and out the field. Man, ain't that good. Because sometimes we think, man, is it just all about being saved? Yes. But man, what a great life it is with Jesus. What a great life it is with Jesus. What a great life it is with Jesus. I'll take the field and the treasure, and I'll give all that I am for both. Because my life ain't meant nothing until I met Jesus. And even the hardest, worst day of my life with Jesus has been better than any day prior. Because I know. Because I have blessed assurance. Because I have blessed assurance. When all else fails, if this body fails, if this mind fails, if I do knock myself out, God will wake me back up. There's one message, Luke chapter 14, Luke 13, sorry, Luke 13. Man, that was good. Man, we'd go home on that, couldn't we? Anybody ready to get out? We'll take votes. I told you how we're going to tabulate them, though. I'm the old tabulator tonight. Arizona. What we'll do is we'll count them. We'll just tell you the results tomorrow. Golly, I'm just full of that. I'm sorry, I stayed up till maybe 12:45. Yelling at the TV. I called Georgia a blue state 15 times. Here's what I said. I said this, Chris. I said, yeah, y'all can win a football game, but you can't vote right. Sorry, that's what I said. You heard, that's what I said. Hey, man, can't help our country out and win a football game. I was kind of upset. I'm getting over it. Luke chapter 13. I feel so comfortable tonight to be here. I'm so sorry. Y'all are getting, do we have any visitors here tonight? God, I hope not. I hope not. Hey, Kyle, go ahead and strike this one from the website there. Just strike it. Just should have took the thing off. Luke chapter 13. Y'all ready to get serious again, get back in? Golly, I love y'all. Man, y'all put up with me. I can't believe it. But y'all are still having the time of your lives tonight, ain't you? Aren't you glad you came to the house of God? Got to worship. You've learned a little bit. You've had a good laugh. And we're all crying on the inside somewhere. Luke chapter 13, verse 6. And he spake this parable. A certain man had a fig tree. Okay, here, what are we trying to learn here? We're going to kind of switch gears. We're still in a field, but we're going to learn some stuff tonight. You can learn a little bit about yourself tonight. Hopefully you do. And if you do, you'll see yourself and you can change. But let's while we're looking at this, let's try to find the characters of God in here. What I mean, not the characters of God. God is one, amen, one triune God. But let's see all who he is, all his characteristics in this parable, which is amazing and powerful if you see it. And then you can also see something about you if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And if you're not, you can always get saved. He spake this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Okay, so this is a character of God here. God is the owner of the field, and he is the owner of the fig tree. Amen. This is a vineyard, okay? Ain't it amazing that in a vineyard he's got a fig tree? I mean, ain't a vineyard, ain't that vines, ain't that grapes, and he's got a fig tree in it? That's kind of strange, ain't it? But it's in the field. It's in the vineyard. So if you're in the vineyard, I don't care if you're a little bit different. If you're in the vineyard, you belong to God. Whew, golly, y'all are so cool about stuff like that, man. We are odd birds. Amen? We're odd birds. Amen? The Bible says two sparrows are bought. Five sparrows are bought with two farthings. That's two little copper coins can buy five sparrows. If y'all don't do the math on that, guess what? There's one odd bird in there. You give them two, they give you five. That means one bird in there is odd. They just threw in one sparrow. I'm doing some good math here. Threw in one sparrow because you know what? That's the deal. You paid for four. One copper equals two birds, and they threw an odd bird in there at the end. Guess who we are? We're that odd bird. Amen? You really didn't get paid for. You was a throw-in. You didn't belong in the vineyard. God threw you in, and you don't... Everybody looks at you and go, you're an odd bird. Man, what? Your family's messed up. Your history's jacked up. If you look, some of you, I guarantee there's a lot of people in here, you got some good upstanding history, whatever. But hey, some of you sitting in here, we're odd birds. We don't belong in the house of God. We don't belong in his vineyard. We don't belong. We shouldn't have been invited. We shouldn't have been asked. We shouldn't have been wooed. We shouldn't have been saved. We should have been married. We shouldn't be in the family of Christ. But as an odd bird, here we are. Everybody else is grapes, and we are fig trees. Why are you in here? I don't know, but mind your business. Amen? You are producing different fruit. That is true, but I am producing fruit. Golly, I'm preaching better than not, and I have a long time, I feel. Maybe you don't feel that way, but I kind of enjoy this. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Jesus, God, out of his fruit trees, out of his vineyard, requires fruit. Joy, happiness, peace, long-suffering, forgiveness, mercy. I mean joy. I mean things like that. Not bitterness, complaining, griping. Man, just wore out. No hope, no joy, no hope for nothing, always critical, always wore out. Praise God. Check up. You should produce fruit that makes you seem like Christ. I get wore out when people say, I'm a Christian. Stop calling yourself something that you can't produce. If you produce it, people will call you what you produce. If you are bitter, you are not a believer in Christ. You're not a Christian. You might be a believer, but you are not a Christian. If you're gossiping and complaining and murmuring and always something wrong and never nothing right. Man, would it be better if I just started preaching on drugs and alcohol and lying and cheating stuff? Would that be better? Because on a Wednesday night, if we talk about those things, they're more of what we struggle with. Praise God. We can get in ruts. Some of you are stuck in ruts. When's the last time that you had a great time with God? When's the last time that you lost it with God? That somebody caught you overjoyed in Christ Jesus, in love, in joy, in peace, totally loving Jesus and having the hope of God. Amen? I mean, all of a sudden somebody looks at you and goes, with all the things going on, you seem like you are above it or around it or away from it. Why? Jesus. I know this must be in His perfect will and perfect plan. I'm not happy with the outcome. I'm not happy with what's going on, but I am content in Christ Jesus. Amen? But He expects fruit. God, the owner of the field and the owner of the vineyard and the tree, amen, expects some fruit. So if you ain't got no fruit, you better start asking God what's up. Matter of fact, let's just go on and get the rest of the verse and we'll know what to do. Verse 7, then He said unto the dresser of the vineyard. Then said He, this is God, speaking to another characteristic of God, which is Jesus, I suppose, unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it to ground? You might want to heed that. God's character, He has a judgment quality. God is a righteous judge. And did you hear what He said? I came looking for it for 3 years. Can some of y'all be real honest with yourself? You don't have to look at me, or you don't have to raise your hand, or you don't say it to amen. But can you look that some of y'all might have got in a 3-year rut? I'm in a 3-year rut. I have not had any joy and hope and peace and love and forgiveness and tolerance. And man, I've not had any of those things. I'm more bitter and angry and murmuring and complaining. And I'm downright ornery. I wanted to use the word ornery. I'm sorry. I've not used that word since like maybe 88. I think I watched in a cartoon. But anyway. But have you noticed that? Like God requires fruit. But He's also giving you some time. He's looking 3 years. He did 365 times 3. And you're sitting here going, man, when God does judge it, when God does do something, you're all upset. And wait a minute, God's been waiting for you for 3 years. How many of y'all would wait on anything? Can I ask y'all this question? Would you answer it honestly? Would you give anybody any kind of time frame like that? Would you give anybody time frame 3 years? If they were mean, backbiting, ornery, complaining, ornery again? Could you do it? Would you keep rolling back in here for 3 years going, man, I can't wait. One of these days they're going to start having hope and joy and forgiveness and love. I've saved them from the pits of hell. I've restored their soul unto salvation. I've done more in their life than anybody can do. I've done miracles. I've got people off drugs. I've delivered their family. I've healed their sick. I've done it all. Saved people they prayed for. But here they are, 3 years running. They're miserable. Would you do it? How long would you give somebody? I know what the real answer is. Maybe 2 weeks. That second week you come in here and someone had a bad attitude like that, you'd be like, on the way home, you'd have them for lunch. And I don't mean you ain't taking them to dinner. You'd be like, yeah, so-and-so, that's it. God said, I came down there for 3 years. You know who He's talking to? He's talking to our advocate, Jesus. Ain't you glad Jesus is our advocate? Man, y'all better like this, because this right here, this is good stuff. It will, if you let this in, it'll help you. I love how God taught, why are you letting it take up space on the property? You better start asking yourself, why are you taking up space in God's property? Whew, God, man, that ain't for y'all. That's me. Sometimes I gotta realize, you know what, Kevin? You know what? You don't have to be here. Amen? And when I'm saying that, I mean, you don't have to be among the living. You don't have to be among the ones who are serving. You get to. You don't have to. You get to. Some of us need to go down to the good old nursing home every once in a while, talk to some people and ask them, would you want to go to church? And they would yank your arm off to change places with you. Oh, I had to go again. Have to do, have to preach, have to sing, have to. I didn't like this and I didn't like that. Praise God. Somebody out there who's in their home and been there for a long time, go, I'd just love to go one time. Hear one message. I don't care what they preach. Hear once. I don't care what they say. As long as there was people in there and I could see them. I love verse 8. This is the vine dresser. This is Jesus. This is our advocate. Thank God we have an advocate. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it. Whew, glory to God. Let God, lay y'all help me right here. Let me work on them. Let me work on them. Give them 4 years. Give me one more year. I hear God doing that for us right now. God, give them one more year. Let me dig on them. God, we get mad if God digs around on us at all. I don't like that. I don't like that message. I don't like this. I don't like that. Praise God. Listen. Pay attention. God is so good. He is a great messenger. I mean, he is a great messenger. He will send messages through everybody in every which way. Praise God. And you know what? Let him dig. Let him dig all the garbage out from under you. Some of you just need some old fruit took away. Some of y'all are talking about the past like it was the greatest of all time. Praise God, we're not there anymore. Let the fruit be gone. And then some of you are miserable because something bad did happen. Praise God, let it go too. Let God dig in there and clean out all the bad. It's like a tooth cleaning. Good Lord, I hate to go, but sometimes you just need that. Amen? You just got to, man, God said, let him dig, let him dig. Man, a lot of times messages for believers hurt. Amen? I love a good message from God because a lot of times the unbelievers sitting there going, wow, this is good. And the believers are sitting there going, God, it hurts. This hurts. But when you leave, you're like, man, God's good. He hurt me in all the right places. Amen? Let me dig. Then, watch this, let me feed them. Let me get in there and let me nourish them. Amen? Let me give them everything they're going to need. I've been preaching this for the last year, seems like. Praise God, apply, apply, apply. I don't care if you come here and we preach for an hour and you only take out one point. Take it and work it. Take it and go, I don't care. I'm going to change this thing, this one thing. If I don't change anything else, this thing, I'm going to change. Some of we need to do that anyway. A lot of us need to go, we need to pick some stuff every year and just fix it. Somebody told me one time when I was selling a house, they said, you know what? Every year in your house, just upgrade something. Just fix something. That way when you go to sell it, you'll have a lot of new stuff and that will have value. And I was sitting there, someone going, Mommy, that'd apply to me. Amen? What if every year you just said, hey, there's something that needs to be fixed. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to upgrade it. I'm going to be new in this area. So many times as believers, we got this one strength, and we'll sit there and talk about that one strength till Jesus comes back. Until we don't develop. Amen? Man, ain't that good. That's good. I can go home on that. Somebody going, I wish you would. This is the second message. Verse 9, I can be funny. And if it bear fruit, well. Listen out there. Man, if it bear fruit, well. But if not, then after, thou shalt cut it down. Guys, attend that. If God's really working on you, listen, I've seen people in this church. I've seen it. people that are struggling, out of balance, living one way out there, trying to live like God in here, and God is digging on them. They in the altar, they're praying, they're trying to change. Every message hits them, they're doing, but then all of a sudden, what happened? If you don't change, I'm going to preach against myself right here in a minute. You can come to this altar all you want to. This is a special place. It's awesome. But I guarantee you, I know what happens a lot of times. You get convicted. You get broken over it. You bring it to the altar. But I guarantee you, some of you scoot it back, weed back to the pew. Before you got back to the pew, you still got the problem, and you're going to take it home with you. When you could have left it with God, you could have said, that's it. But we took it back home. Walked right back out and let it back in the car. Amen? Went a whole nother year, stuck in that same rut. God says, I've got to cut you out because you won't change. Man, I didn't come up with this. This is God. This is 1, 2, 3, 4 verses. And God said, I say, if it don't start producing fruit, cut it out and put another tree in its place. Because a lot of times, I'm going to preach right here and I'll be done. Most of us think we're irreplaceable. Have you ever thought that in life? Have you ever thought in life, well, they'll never replace me? About 5 minutes. I used to think that at certain jobs. Boy, they couldn't get rid of me. They laugh. Bob, Joe, you're working tonight in this spot. See you. Go home. Wow, that was quick. That's the same thing with God. God, you can't do church without me. And about 6 seconds. All right? Can't do ministry without me. Yes, I can. Amen? Ain't that something? But you know what the wonderful, beautiful, end on a great note right here, Kevin. You know what the wonderful, beautiful thing about that is? He wants to do it with you. He wants to do it with us. That's why he lets God, lets Jesus work on us. He lets the Holy Spirit dig around. He lets the Holy Spirit feed us. That's what he does. The characteristic of God is that he's a righteous judge. Jesus is our advocate, and the Holy Spirit is the one who works on us. Amen? You know what our job is? Change. Let all the work happen where we can produce fruit, where we can stay in the field and work for God and live for God. Amen. Has this been good to you? Have you got help tonight? Let's all stand. Whew.